Is anybody else thankful that we imagine now, but we will do it one day? We will stand in the presence of our King and our Lord. And I just want to know if anybody's just like hungry today. Not just hungry physically, though for some of you, if you're invited to the dedication luncheon, you'll be fed well. But I said last week that, you know, Easter was 2 weeks ago and people come excited and they come, you know, it's Easter, it's the, you know, biggest day, it's the Super Bowl of Christianity. But I said you should come every single week just as hungry as you come on Easter. You should come every single week ready to worship like you do on Easter. It's not just one day a year that we celebrate and that we lift Him on high. It's every single week that we get to come in here. It's not just to entertain you, but it's to exalt the name of Jesus Christ above all names. That's why we sing songs of praise. That's why we may cry. That's why we lift our hands. That's why we give to Him our hearts when we come in here. So I hope and I pray that there are people who are hungry to hear from the Lord as you continue to exalt Him today in your worship and in His Word, digging into it, what He has for you. I pray that you don't so much get hungry for me to preach, but for God to speak to you, for Him to minister to your heart in such a way that you will leave this place differently than you came. That is my hope and that is my prayer. And today I want to talk about something that if you are a Christian here, then this is a reality in which you face. If you're not a Christian yet, you don't see it the same way yet. But our prayer is, our goal is that one day you will see it the way that we see it. And it's something that Paul talks about to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6. So I'll give you a minute to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6, or I'll give you a minute to open up your smartphone and pull up your YouVersion Bible app, because some of y'all charged your Bibles last night and you're ready to go. Or I'll give you a minute to open your eyes and just look up. But 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. It says this, "But as for you, O man of God," Paul talking to Timothy, "flee from these things." These things are the ways of the world and temptation and desires of the flesh and money and greed and all of these things, "and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness." And the key part of this particular verse is he says, "Fight the good fight of faith." Fight the good fight of faith. If you came into church today and you were under the impression that because you have called upon the name of Jesus Christ as Lord, that everything is going to work out in your favor and how you want, I will ask you to check your source of where you heard that. Because what I want you to understand is Paul is encouraging this young preacher to fight the good fight of faith, understanding that there is this constant struggle to follow sin and to live in sin and to, you know, build upon the cravings and the desires of our flesh. There is a struggle to let me live in drunkenness and let me stay sober-minded. There is a constant struggle and this constant fight to let me chase the money or let me be a servant and to give what God has given up to me. There is this constant struggle that you and I, all of us who are Christians, fight. And it's a good fight. Paul talks about it being a good fight of faith, meaning fleeing from the ways of the world, fleeing from the desires of your flesh and the cravings of this body, and chasing and pursuing, as he says, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. Fight the good fight. There is a constant struggle. It is every single day that we must deny ourselves, take up our cross, follow Him. It's constant. So don't imagine or don't think to yourself, okay, if I just pray that one prayer, Jesus, come into my heart, change my heart, thank you, Lord, everything is good. Because I would tell you that, in fact, it probably may be the opposite most of the time. Because if you imagine yourself living in sin and shame, the devil's got you right where he wants you. But if you choose to by the conviction of the Holy Spirit, surrender your heart and confess your sins to Him who is faithful and just to forgive you, and surrender yourself and completely give all of who you are to Him, then the devil has to work a little bit harder to try to get you back. And there's this constant tension and this struggle between you trying to walk by faith and Him trying to pull you back. And I will tell you that when you face temptation, it's hard. I think we could all raise our hand and say that there is a temptation or sin or struggle that you live with right now that has held you captive for a long time. Maybe it's a thought, maybe it's a lifestyle, maybe it's your tongue. You know, it is a constant struggle to use your tongue to speak life into people rather than burning them down. You know how easy it is to use your thumbs to burn people down? You know how easy it is to just tell them exactly what you think rather than thinking through what you think and trying to process what is this word from my mouth going to do to their heart, do to their dreams, do to their hopes? It is a constant struggle. And Paul says, flee from those things. Flee from the things of the world and pursue righteousness. Chase after the Lord. And I would, if I could break it down in one short, sweet sentence, because I know some of y'all are kind of like me and you need it. You need it short and you need it to the point. It would just be flee from sin and chase the Savior. Fight the good fight. Flee from sin. Flee from temptation. Flee from those lifestyles that bring you down and chase the Savior, Jesus Christ, and live as He lived. Love as He loved. Give as He gave. Serve as He served. Honor people. And Paul says, do this. This is what you should do. You should try to outdo one another with honor rather than using your tongue to burn them down. Honor people. Put their needs before your own wants and serve people. Give to people. And to fight the good fight of faith. And I would say this, that you could probably attest to that this life isn't always easy. There are people in this sanctuary right now that have walked through the valley. Just raise your hand if you would say, I have walked through a valley. Some of y'all have walked through many valleys. Some of you all have seen firsthand the storms of life and heard the winds howling in your ear. Some of y'all have truly experienced what it feels like to be forsaken and disappointed and abandoned by people who you put so much trust into or so much care for. And they just abandoned you and forsaken you and they left you and disappointed you. I would say that all of us have been right there. Disappointed, forsaken, abandoned, hurt. Broken heartache. I would say I'm not alone when I say that we've been there. I've been there. You've been there. And maybe you came in today feeling broken in some area or with something or struggling to overcome something. And maybe there are times in your life that you have felt completely defeated. There's no reason to continue on. There's no reason to get up out of bed today. There's no way God could love me after that. There's no way the marriage could ever be repaired. There's no way that my kids will ever obey me or respect me. There's no way that God could truly forgive someone like me or something like that. And there's no way. So what the devil wants to do is he wants you to lay face down in the dirt and feel to yourself and feed yourself in your own mind that you are done. But this is what I want you to do. I want to know if you would be willing to do this. Can you turn to your neighbor? Not yet. But in just a second when I tell you to. I want you to turn to your neighbor and I want you to tell them one thing, which happens to be the sermon title of this message. And I know that some of y'all have fought for a long time for your faith and you have fought against the tactics of the enemy and you have fought against the temptations that you struggled with and you have fought against, you know, the trials and you have fought through the storms. And maybe you feel like there's no point of moving on. There's no point of going forward. This is what I want you to do. I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell them this. Neighbor, do it. Neighbor, don't back down. All right. So I'm glad you did that. Now I want you to turn to your other and I want you to tell them. This is what I want you to tell them. Second favorite neighbor. who I like a little bit less than the first person I turned to. Don't back down. If you got to tell your wife that, I'm sorry, but don't back down. I want people who have come into this church today who have felt the wages of abandonment and who have felt the weight of sin and shame and been held captive to sin or to chains of the world. I want people that have walked into this place today like that. I want people who have walked in chained down to walk out confident today. Confident. Confident in that you have put your faith and your trust and your entire life into the hands of Jesus. And something that's in his hands is victory. So what I want you to do is you may have come down today feeling defeated, but you can actually leave today in the victory of our Lord Christ Jesus. That's my hope. That's my prayer. And I want you to know that this fight of faith that you will fight, it may not be an easy one, but it's a rewarding one. And Paul talks about it just a bit in 2 Timothy chapter 4, talking to Timothy again. And he says, Timothy, well, he didn't say it like this, but he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have fought the good fight. And I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, isn't that like your favorite word? Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Isn't it just kind of mind-blowing to you? We just sang about what are we going to do in his presence? Are we even going to be able to stand up in his presence? You shouldn't be able to. We should not be able to stand in his presence because of our filthiness and our dirtiness and our brokenness. And he is a holy and a righteous and a sovereign God. All he hears all day is holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy. I mean, he is holy. He is perfect. He is majestic. And he is going to look at people like us who shouldn't be able to stand in his presence. And he is going to say, hey, I got this for you. I got this crown for you because you fought the fight. You ran the race. And now, though that you may have been chained at one time, now I'm going to crown you as champion. Champion. You're a conqueror now. You have fought the good fight. You have run the good race. You have done everything that you should have done by fleeing from sin and fleeing from the world and pursuing righteousness and pursuing godliness. It's just mind-blowing to me to imagine that Jesus Christ, my King, will lean over to me and place that. That feel good? Right there. I mean, could you imagine? Adam's gotten it firsthand. I think he'll be gentler on your hair than I may have been. But can you imagine what it's going to be like one day to stand before him as he places the crown on your head for fighting the good fight? For running the race, for fleeing from sin. I want you to know that there is a constant struggle and tension in our homes to keep a standard of holiness in what our kids watch and what our kids listen to and what our kids do. There is a standard of holiness that we should pursue in our home so that our kids could be raised up in the true way of our Lord. Not just seeking the world, but truly seeking the way that he would love and the things in which he would find okay to watch or to listen to or to read. Like, that's the standard of holiness that us as parents should fight for our kids and should fight with our spouses. And you, if you're single, like, fight on your own. But here's a few things. I want to share two big thoughts on how we go from fighting the good fight to receiving the crown, and I want to share two big thoughts. The first one is this: be wise with your weapons. Be wise with your weapons. You know, when I was in the military, we were trained to know our weapon. And some people can actually still remember their weapon serial number from many years ago. My wife's great-grandfather doesn't know my name, but he knows his rifle serial number. That's how much I mean to him. Yeah, thankful for that. But he'll read that off to me and say, "Travis, listen up. This is it." Yeah, I got it. But we were trained to know that weapon. We were trained to know everything about that weapon, every part of that weapon. We were trained to really experience what that weapon is capable of doing. Why were we so concerned about that stinking gun? Well, because they knew that if we truly understood how to use that weapon and what that weapon was capable of, if the time ever came for us to fight, to defend ourselves or protect our fellow Marines, then we would know exactly how to fight. And we would know exactly what to do with that weapon. And today I want to share five weapons that you have been given by God to stand up and to fight back against the enemy that we face. Five weapons. These are deadly weapons that you have been given by God to fight the good fight of faith and stop being defeated and stop giving into the ways of the world and stop just drowning yourselves in sin and stop, you know, just feeling sorry for ourselves. We can stand victorious today, and we have five deadly weapons. I want to talk about those now. The first one is this: godly people. Godly people. Did you know that the first thing that God saw that was not good was that man was alone? Therefore, he said, I should make him a helper. And he made Eve, and Adam and Eve started a relationship, and they were married, and they had kids, and here we are, thousands of years later. First thing God saw was not good was that man was alone. So what I want you to know is you may feel like you are more of a loner person. You're more of an introvert. I like to do things on my own, but I want you to know that you were not created to do it like that. You were created to live in relationship with your Father in heaven and with the people in which He has blessed you with on this earth. You have been blessed with a church here at PHCC, or if you're a visitor, wherever your home church is, with godly people. Those are going to be the people that listen to you when you have nowhere else to go. Those are going to be the people that put a shoulder out for you to cry on. Those are going to be the people that say, "You know what? I know you are broken, but let me speak life into your life. Let me point you to the Scripture. Let me redirect your mindset, because you're talking about being defeated, but I have come and God has placed me in your life to speak life into you and to encourage you." Those people are going to be the people that hold you up and stand beside you in your battles when you're facing anxiety. Those are going to be the people. Whenever the doctor calls, those are going to be the people that pray with you and that stand beside you and that help you fight this fight of faith. This is an individual battle that you have. But you weren't meant to do it alone. Now, you might find godly people in the church. If you're part of a life group, you might find, you know, some people in our life groups that are godly people that you kind of grow in relationship with. Just know that you weren't meant to do it alone. But here's the thing. You need to find godly people. You can find good people, and they'll lead you into a good life. But if you want to live a godly life, you need to find godly people. If you want to fight the good fight of faith, you need to find godly people. Because here's the thing, if you are wanting to live in a manner which God would call acceptable, you can't do it surrounding yourself by people attached to the world. Because eventually you'll be right there where they are. Eventually you'll be living in the sin that they call fun. Eventually you'll be living in the habits that they call not a big deal. So if you really want to live for the Lord and fight the good fight, you need to surround yourself with people that are like-minded and wanting to point you in the same direction. Because I'm telling you, if you surround yourself with good people, worldly people, yeah, they may be there for you and they may be good to you, but I'm telling you, they're not going to point you to where you need to be pointed. And maybe that means you delete a number today. I don't know what you need to do. Maybe that means you tell somebody, "Yeah, we may have been this, and though I still love you, and though I still pray for you and care for you, something's got to change." another weapon that you and I have is worship or praise. I feel like worship is a weapon that God has given us that can actually unlock the door into an intimate and deeper relationship with Him. David wrote all kinds of songs and praise and worship of who God is and what He had done and what He was going to continue to do. It's when we start to worship, when we exalt the name of Jesus above all names, and it's when we worship out loud and praise His holy name that we exalt the name of Jesus above our current struggle, above whatever we're facing at the moment, above the people that have left us, above the doctor's report. It is when we worship and praise Him. And the best thing about doing that is that people around you will hear you and will see you. And I know sometimes it's hard to worship. It's hard to sing songs of praise and thanksgiving when life always goes the other way. When it feels like nothing is going your way, it's sometimes hard. But I want you to know that we don't worship Him just when things go well. We don't worship Him just when we need something. God, I need you, so I'm gonna sing to you. I'm going to lift your name on high because I need something. We worship Him because of who He is. He is our rock. He is our stronghold. He is our defense. He is everything to us. He is the way maker and the chain breaker. He's the life giver. And He is the one that takes dead people and brings them to life. That's why we worship Him, because of who He is. So sometimes it's hard to sing to Him. You know, maybe you're not very good. Some of y'all aren't very good at singing. You know, I'm just being real. Like, it's out of key, and it's like I do. I don't sing well at all. But I want you to know that He wants to hear from you. He wants you to lift His name on high. And guess what? Who cares what the people around you think of it? Who cares how out of key to them you sound? You may have been out of key to them, but you are right where you need to be with Him. Amen. I don't care how bad I sound. I'll sing next week. I'll sing like I did a few weeks ago. I will sing a special. I don't care. I just never been asked to. Yet. No. Prayer. Prayer is something else that if we truly understand, it truly understood just how God was, I don't think you could get us to stop praying. You may not even get off your knees. If you truly knew the ways in which God has provided for you, if you truly knew the battles in which God has fought with you and for you, you wouldn't stop praying. This kind of sounds like what the Apostle Paul said somewhere, doesn't it? He said, prayer without what? Without ceasing, meaning never stop. Maybe he knew something that some of us don't know. If I could pray without ceasing, then maybe I could completely pour out my heart so that God could fill me in. And the thing about prayer is that you may not experience an audible voice. Maybe you do. But whenever you come to prayer, it is humbling yourself. It's slowing yourself down and recognizing who He is. And you're pouring yourself out completely to Him in prayer. Father, I need you. I need you. And the thing I've noticed about prayer is that when we pour ourselves out, He will pour into us exactly what we need when we need it. It may be that you're praying for strength to deal with this family member. It may be that you're praying for patience to deal with kids. It may be that you're praying for God to make a way in your job because you cannot take this or you need something else. God is going to give to us what we need in the moment, but when we never pray, we never receive what He's wanting to do and what He can do. And prayer is a weapon. It's a weapon in which we use to fight. That's kind of why people are called prayer warriors. Many battles have been fought and won on their knees rather than their feet. Many battles have been won by people holding on to each other at an altar for minutes, even hours, people praying together over the phone and in the homes every single day, every night for days or weeks or even months, so people could be healed of their disease, so kids could be set free, so chains could be broken. And that is what we use. Prayer is a weapon. We also have His Word. His Word we know is a sword. His Word is where we find the promises of who He is. This isn't just a collection of old stories and nice moral principles. This is the living Word of a living God. that we live by and that we dig in and that we grow in. And there's some stuff in here. It says to us, his word tells us that he has all authority. His word reminds us that he will never leave us nor forsake us. His word is where we find the promise that he will always provide the way of escape in the time of temptation. His word promises us that Jesus has overcome the world. His word reminds us that if God is for us, then who can be against us? His word is a weapon of victory and promise. And the last deadly weapon that I want you to hear today is the Spirit of God that lives within you. The Holy Spirit that empowers you and equips you for the fight at hand and for the work laid before you. And it's whenever we come to a point in which we surrender to the power of the Holy Spirit and obey the promptings of the Holy Spirit that we actually see ourselves pointed into the path of righteousness, and we see ourselves obeying the word of God and the way of God and seeking who he is. And whenever we obey the promptings of the Holy Spirit and we dig into the power in which he provides with us, that's when we can stand up and truly declare out loud with all confidence, and not just a little bit, but greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Whenever you step into the relationship and submission to the Holy Spirit, you can declare to yourself and in your life that greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Greater is he. And he has given to us those who walk by faith and live under the King and the Lordship of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit, five weapons. Five weapons: godly people, worship, prayer, his word, and his Spirit. And the second thing which leads us to action is this: use what you have. Use what you have. We were never trained to know weapons and leave them behind to go fight wars. And neither were you. God would want you to use what you have. You have five deadly weapons in your hand that you can use to fight the good fight of faith and flee from sin and flee from the tactics of our enemy and truly walk in the righteousness of God and pursue the godliness that you and I should be hungry for. Five deadly weapons. Use what you have. There's a guy that's in the Bible in the book of Judges, chapter 3. He's in here for one verse, but it's such a powerful verse. And it says in Judges, chapter 3, verse 31, that after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, who killed 600 of the Philistines with an ox goad. And he also delivered Israel. 600-1 odds. And our buddy Shamgar, it's not a popular name anymore, came out on top by using an ox goad. Here's what an ox goad is. It's like a long wooden stick or pole with a very sharp point on the end. It sounds really, really handy with kids and some husbands, all right? Some of y'all just need a good ox goad to the kidney or something, and you'll stop leaving your dirty shoes or clothes on the floor, I tell you. But Shamgar, he didn't waste his time looking for what other people had and what he didn't have. He used what he had in his hand and was strengthened by God and fought 600 Philistines. That'd be similar to today having an ox goad and defeating 600 of the ISIS terrorists that come your way by using what you have. I don't think people understand that what you have are five deadly weapons that God has gifted to you to use in this fight. Shamgar stood his ground, didn't back down, and he used the weapons. But here's the thing. Shamgar used what he had. He didn't go around. His resources were limited. He didn't have a degree. His marriage may have been on the rocks. He may have made mistakes in the past, and all of that fits for you. But Shamgar used what he had, and he took it, and he fought the Philistines that came his way, and they kept coming, and he kept fighting, and they kept coming, and he kept fighting. And the beautiful thing about it is that Shamgar did not focus on what he didn't have, but he fought with what he had. And if you would stop trying to fight the fight of faith with someone else's prayer life, or just wish that you had their faith, or wish that you had their life, or wish that you had their marriage, or wish that you had their gifts, or wish that you had their talents. If you would fight the fight of faith with what you have, you may see that you could be like Shamgar. Shamgar delivered the whole nation of Israel. Just like you could deliver your entire family by fighting the good fight of faith that you have been called to fight. Generations to come could be impacted by the fight that you choose to fight. By using what you have, standing in the face of the enemy and not backing down. It's up to you to fight. Paul said it's well worth it. He said there's a crown waiting one day. I wish I would have titled this sermon, "The Crowns Are Coming." The crowns are coming for those that will stand up and fight the good fight of faith. And maybe you're saying today, and you're here, and you're like, well, I don't know all this stuff, and I don't have a Bible degree, and I can write my name and a few other things, and I'm not real smart on the Bible. I don't know much about it. And here's the thing. You may be saying today, Lord, all I have is this Bible that I don't know much about. Lord, all I have is like two people from church that I know in my life group, and I don't even know very much about them. I think I know their names, but I don't know them, and they're not really, you know, they don't know me like I wish they did, but God, that's all I have. And you may be saying, Lord, all I have sometimes is like literally you and me. That's it. I feel like people have abandoned me. My family's not there. And maybe you're saying, Lord, all I have is this very immature prayer life. I don't even know how to pray yet. You may be saying, God, all I have is this very young relationship with you. I don't even know who you are really, and I don't even know if you really know who I am. And God, I don't know all that much about you. I wish I did, but I don't. And you may be saying, God, all I have is this, all I have is that. And I feel like he would stand here today and look you right in your face and say, you have all that you need. You have all that you need. You got five deadly weapons in your bag. I need you to wake up tomorrow and ask the devil which one he wants. You want me to surround myself with godly people that will remind me of where I used to be and now where I stand? Or, hey, devil, do you want me to worship the name of Jesus Christ above all names and remind you of where you stand? Or do you want me to spend my time in prayer honoring the one that has taken me from bondage and dominion that you used to have and now walking in the path in which God has called me to walk in? Or maybe you want me to just surrender to the Spirit that is above you and that reminds me that you are underneath his foot. Or maybe you want me to dig into the Word. I don't know what the devil wants from you, but you got five deadly weapons to give him. It's up to you, though, to fight the fight. Up to you. And today, I would just tell you to never back down. Don't back down. If you feel defeated, you have five weapons. If the godly people aren't there to answer the call, I know someone that is. He never sleeps. He's always got you in communication. I know that there is a book here that will remind you of what you are not and what you are. So today, as we close this service and as we pray and as we move on to dedicating babies and all of that, I just want to truly ask you to ask yourself if you have been fighting back. Because maybe you're here today and you feel defeated and broken, and everything's measured against you, and you haven't fought a bit. And I want to give you an opportunity during our last song, as we pray and as we praise him one more time. I would invite you to come to this step, because we have people in these first few rows and people all over this church that would love to pray with you and for you. There are people that would literally bend down on their knees with you and to fight this fight of faith with you in prayer. Maybe you felt defeated. Or maybe you came in today and you haven't truly surrendered your heart and life to Jesus. You've never called upon his name. I would ask that you would come as well. Maybe you don't want to. Maybe you don't know. I'll tell you this. Maybe you feel dead on the inside. Well, there's something beautiful about the altar of the Old Testament, and this step here, and this second step represents that for us here. But it was on the altar that people would bring some animal offerings, and they would kill the animals, and their blood would be poured out on the altar, and the animals would actually be set on fire. And the Bible says that the aroma pleased the Lord, that an animal burned on an offering and the blood pouring out, set on fire, would please him. And I think that we have to understand that it was at the altar that dead things were set on fire. You may have walked in today completely spiritually dead, but by calling upon the name of Jesus Christ as Lord, by asking Him to forgive you of your sin in a true repentant heart and repenting from those sins, and being empowered by other people around you, you may have been dead, but you can leave the altar on fire for the name of Jesus. I just want to remind you to never back down. Will you pray with me?